There are two terrible ways that self-centered parents can wound you in the way that you have relationships, and in particular, when they didn't take an interest or support the unique little person that you were, and they didn't help you to learn to detect and say no to mistreatment. And if this has happened to you, you may find yourself struggling to have friends, and when you do get a friend, you'll tolerate terrible treatment from them and end up believing it's your job to hide that it hurts you. Have you done that?
Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible, and those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show.
In fact, it can prevent you from seeing that this is a bad person and you need to get away. But your trauma will tell you the problem is you. My letter today is from a woman I'll call Renette, and she writes, "Hello, Crappy Childhood Fairy. I was wondering if you could give me advice on how to deal with guilt and shame over the end of a friendship." She says, "I met Ethan through a mutual friend and we hit it off. He was interesting, kind, and artistic, and we became good friends during the pandemic, talking over the phone at least once a week." I've got my fairy pencil so I can circle things I want to come back to, like the pandemic. Didn't all kinds of crazy things get kind of grooved into our habits back then? Okay. "When restrictions began to be lifted, I visited him several times, even stayed with his family at their lake house. I was really happy to have such a welcoming friend and to be included in family activities, since I don't have a close family of my own. After about a year and a half of being good friends, Ethan started to grow more distant. I remember saying, 'I think our friendship is sort of fading,' which he didn't really respond to. He would stop returning my calls and not answer my texts, or he did so sporadically. It was a huge change from the past. He would always call me back or text me or just answer. It was sad for me to see that my friendship was drifting apart, but I decided to just stop reaching out to him and give him space." Okay. "However, he continued to reach out to me, and when we did talk, he would be passive aggressive, telling me that the things I talked about were annoying and telling me to stop talking about certain things." This is so weird. I just don't get where he's coming from. "The original mutual friend who had introduced us became a source of annoyance to him, and he would say horrible things about her to me. It was extremely uncomfortable to speak to him, and I felt pretty nervous talking to him. It seemed obvious to me that he didn't like me, but for some reason he kept talking to me. In hindsight, I see that he probably kept talking to me because I'm an easygoing person who, unfortunately, has been a doormat most of my life. I see that I always accepted whatever he said with an open hand, even when the things he said hurt my feelings or made me uncomfortable. I see that I should have set a boundary with him, but I did not because I did not want to let a friend go. And I also think I have trouble feeling how angry I am. So it's getting hard for me to set boundaries because it's hard for me to tell when I'm getting upset." Interesting. So used to shutting it down, maybe. "One day he texted me, and when I responded, he told me I was being lazy in the way I texted him." Oy vey, huh? "And with that, I got up the courage to ask him if he was mad at me and what was going on." I thought you were going to say you had the courage to confront him or to leave, but you say the courageous thing was just to ask him if he was mad at you. You sound like that must have been very afraid of these scenarios. Okay. He seemed surprised by this and assured me that he loved me and that everything was fine. And we talked on the phone again about a week later, and he seemed honestly back to normal. I was really excited to have my friend back and proud of myself that I had been assertive in the way I asked about his behavior. I just beg to differ. I don't think asking about the behavior is assertive. Doing something about it is. Okay. He invited me to come and stay with him for his birthday, and I was excited because I thought we were going back to being normal. However, through the night of hanging out, which I was totally sober for, he again started to treat me in the same way, shutting down what I was talking about or saying certain things I said were stupid. I was trying to think of ways to engage him, and when we went to a bar later, he started to completely ignore me. I started just talking to someone else at the bar, sort of bewildered as to what to do. Ethan moved over to another table entirely and began speaking to other people. When it was getting late, I went over to talk to him about what we were doing next, and he wouldn't even look me in the face. Finally, all the frustration and hurt I had with him just came pouring out. Yay! And I started screaming in his face, asking him, why was he treating me so badly? Again, asking is not a boundary, but okay, you asked, why? And I want to know too, why? The bartender told me to stop yelling, and some customers told me I shouldn't be talking to him like that. Ethan and I left, and I just drove home. I've been there, okay. The next day, I texted him an apology and also found the bar on Facebook and apologized to them as well. I saw on my social media that he had blocked me, so I hoped that he had seen my text apology, seeing as he probably blocked my phone number as well. This is where you did the codependent flip thing. I don't know if it's codependence, but a shutdown flip. You flipped. And all of a sudden your mind says, oh, this is me. I'm the one who has to apologize. And I agree, screaming, definitely apologize to the bar. I love you for doing that. That's so responsible. But your friend had it coming. He had it coming. What he was doing is so terrible. I can't even guess, like, what's wrong? Has he got a mental illness? Is he totally high on something ugly? I don't know. Okay, so you apologize. My problem now is I feel so much guilt and shame for yelling at him. I knew you'd say that. This is a pattern, especially in people whose needs were not met when they were a kid. I see that he was not being nice to me. It's more than not being nice. He was mind-effing you, for sure, and just abandoning you as a friend after manipulating you to keep hanging out in the friendship. But I also know that it's not an excuse to yell at someone. Okay, I'm just going to say an unpopular opinion here. There are some things that are an excuse to yell at people. And it's better that you should express your anger about a wrongdoing than stuff it down and keep teaching yourself to gaslight yourself that it's okay and it's just your fault. Sometimes recovery looks messy like this. We yell. We express ourselves. We have a fit in front of everyone. And it's okay. You apologize to the bar. What happened in the bar is nothing compared to what this guy has done to you. Okay. Since he never accepted my apology, even though the bar did reach back out and say thank you, I'm having trouble moving on from this. No, that's not why. If he accepted your apology, you would still have trouble moving on. The lack of an acceptance of the apology is nothing any of us ever needs. You apologized. You did your bit. He doesn't want to have contact with you is what's going on. He blocked you. There was something going on with him that he was clinging to you, and then he was really resentful that you were around. I don't think it had anything to do with you. If you really want to, just do some self-examination. Was there anything that... Did you have covert feelings of romance for him that you wouldn't cop to? Was that going on? That could make a person uncomfortable. Were you having expectations of him or a tit for tat that you thought if you were really nice to him, he should be really nice to you? That can make a person uncomfortable. But whatever you did, just being yourself, what he gave back to you was crap. This is not a good friend for you. You already did more than enough by apologizing. You asked me my opinion. That's what I think. You're having trouble moving on because you have unprocessed trauma. And the shame and the feeling of pressure and the fear there's someone out there in the world that I've hurt and who probably hates me. You know what? Can me, on behalf of all of us and in the comments, people will join me, let him hate you. Let him run away screaming and never come back. He's a jerk. So let him hate you. You actually don't need him or anybody to like you and think that you're actually good after acting that way. I know how painful it is to be sort of, to be treated badly for mystery reasons. I've had it happen in several instances in my life, and it was really hard for me to get through. So here's what worked. Here's what worked for me. I got a life. And it sounds like you're kind of lonely that you're even holding on to a friendship that's not very fun, used to be, but isn't. And you need a life. You need joy in your life and friends and people who love you as you are and who get you and who enjoy the same things and who can be trusted if you go to a bar or meet their family or whatever you do, that who they are when you're together is who they were when they said that you should get, that they would like to get together and not have this huge personality flip. That's emotional abuse. And unless we find out he has some sort of grave mental illness, that's emotional abuse. So everyone in the comments, if you have experience with such a person, tell us about it. This is baffling me. What do you think it is? And a whole bunch of people, they're automatically going to go to narcissism. I don't know. I'd like to hear insight about this. If you've dealt with somebody, did you find out what was going on? So as always, we are kind and supportive to our letter writers. They've asked us for our help. When you're finding new friends, a lot of people who had trauma in the past struggle with this a little bit. There's just kind of a built-in feeling of weirdness about connecting with people. Like, it feels sometimes like we just don't know what's going on, or why does everybody else seem so friendly? Why do I feel left out? You sound to me like somebody who has that symptom. So one of the things we can do to strengthen our ability to make friends is to learn friendship skills. And it's very practical. I you know me, I like practical tips, and I give away free PDFs with practical tips. So how to have stronger friendship skills.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to BetterHelp.com/CCF, as in Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.